Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week. Sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, our author Dennis Neal, award-winning journalist, media strategist, advisor to senior executives, and host of What's Bugging Me podcast, anchor, former anchor at CNBC and at Fox Business Network after serving as a senior editor at the Wall Street Journal and managing editor of Forbes. His book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. And I think this is, the title, the book is interesting because a lot of people recognize Elon Musk as being a genius, but oftentimes being a genius not only doesn't make you a good leader, but can make you a really bad one. And so I don't know that a lot of people, because of how brightly he shines as someone who people think of as a genius, they never even think about the leadership aspect of Elon Musk. So I think that's a really interesting take on this. And that being said, what made you decide to focus on that leadership aspect of Elon Musk?
Well, when we stand there and watch jaws agape as this guy accomplishes so much in so many different fields, you know, other amazing characters in our history, Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos, Edison. I mean, they've largely been good at one particular thing. Elon has been good at about half a dozen different things. So there must be some underlying substrate that can explain the success more than just brilliance. And part of it does fall down to leadership. You know, when they're trying to get the Model 3 Tesla out on time because he set an impossibly difficult deadline to get up to 5,000 vehicles per month production, I think it was, or something. He slept on the factory floor in Fremont, California for the better part of 3 months because he wanted his employees, he said later, his workers, to know that he was willing to suffer every bit as much as they were suffering to get this job done. And a lot of leaders don't get so deeply involved in the microcode the way this guy does. And he does lead by example. And he does, you know, the book, Nick, has 11 lessons of Elon, one lesson per chapter. And one of the lessons says, most people are loafers, work harder than you ever have before, because we're using these lessons, I'm arguing, to build a better life for ourselves. And Elon works harder than anyone else. When he started on that Doge cutting, he pointed out that, you know, most federal employees are staying at home, right? Mm. There's an energy department building that houses 4,800 employees. And in 2023, every day, an average of only 89 employees were in that building. So federal workers are staying at home. They're not working. They're not doing anything. And they certainly don't work 7 days a week. And he pointed out that he's going to be able to cut that $1 trillion he wants to cut out of a $7 trillion budget. It's only 14%. He can do it faster because they're working 12-hour days, 7 days a week. And they are making some progress. And look at all the opposition that this has inspired. I never thought so many people would stand up against the idea of cutting fat and waste from the government budget. That's our money.
Where did he come from? I don't mean geographically, but what made him the way that he is?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this because, you know, these radio interviews are so great for a longer format, right, and a chance to really think and ask deep questions the way you do. And you know, when I was an anchor on CNBC and Fox Business, I tried to keep my bites down to, like, you know, 12 or 20 seconds and ping pong back and forth as much as possible. So I think he's driven by three things, right? Of course, there's that deep brilliance and intelligence, right? But I also think there's this drive for, you guys are doubting me, and I'm going to prove myself to you. I'm going to prove everyone wrong. I'm going to pick out bold dreams. That's another lesson in the book, Dream Huge, and be willing to spend decades in pursuit of it. I'm going to pick out impossible goals that no one else dare try because they're so afraid of failure. Elon embraces failure. Failure is a necessary step on the way to success. And that's another lesson of the book, is it's better to launch and burn than never to launch at all. So he's got this need to kind of prove everyone wrong, and I'm going to show you. And I got some of that myself, too, so I kind of identify with it. And then third of all, you know, he's desperate for the approval of strangers. He wants to be loved. You know, the great biographer Walter Isaacson did that incredible 688-page book, Elon Musk, and he talks about that, him being an outcast at school and, right, and estranged from his father, and that need to be loved drives all human beings, and I think it's especially readily apparent in him, which is why right now it must be so hard for him to be hated by so many.
We're talking with our author of the week, Dennis Neal, the book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. It seems to me, excuse me, that Trump has this almost, I don't know if it's admiration or affection for Elon Musk that at least publicly is displayed to a greater degree than any other sort of relationship that he's had. And I wonder if, I just want your thoughts on this. I thought that it was probably just because Elon Musk is, a really hard worker and successful, and Trump likes to surround himself with people that are going to get things done successfully. But one of the things that I've always thought separated Trump from most people is that he was unreasonable in a positive way, unreasonable expectations. It was just do it, just get it done. Things that everyone else would never even attempt because it would be too difficult. Trump did not let that stop him. And Elon Musk appears to operate that same way, that there is no. So I'm wondering how much of it is because of that.
Well, you know what? They are simpatico, aren't they? And you've put your finger on it. The conclusion in my book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk, talks about how is it these two guys came together. And, you know, there's that old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And these two men are hated by the same groups of people, the media, the dimwit Democrats, super libs, the ridiculous protesters. They're both decried by the same people. And they both set impossibly difficult goals, because even if you fail to get all the way there, you get twice as far as you would have gotten if you set a more reasonable goal. I think there's a real mutual admiration. But then there's this one other element, you know, that the White House has never said anything. The Trump family's never confirmed it. But there's speculation out there that Barron Trump himself may be on the spectrum in some way, Asperger's, the way Elon Musk has said that he is. You know, you'll see some of this video of Elon. He's at some Mar-a-Lago dinner, group dinner, and suddenly he's looking at two forks and how they intersect and click on each other. And he's just staring at it in space, and he's totally removed from the conversation. So maybe there's something extra there where it's so good for Barron Trump to see Elon Musk change the world for the better and almost benefit from his Asperger's approach. Who knows? Maybe there's something going on there as well.
Yeah, we're talking with our author of the week, Dennis Neal, the book Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. Most Americans are familiar with Tesla. They are familiar with the purchase of Twitter and SpaceX as well. But they're not familiar with some of his other endeavors that maybe they are familiar with, just that he's associated with them. They may not know that. Do you get that sense as well, that there's just a huge missing bit of knowledge that Americans have about all of the things that he's done?
I think they may lose track, you know. Yeah. They may lose track, and because sometimes they'll start a company with a simple joke. This guy, you know, people have raised hundreds of millions of dollars of investor money pursuing ideas that Elon just came up with and didn't even kind of do anything on his own. The whole hyperspace loop, this idea of sending packages between LA and San Francisco at 400 miles an hour in an empty vacuum tube underground, and then cars that could travel 200 miles an hour when the packages aren't traveling. That all just came from an idea off the top of this guy's head. The Neuralink brain chip. That's the other thing, Nick, is that I think I see one dream in Musk, and then I realize when I do more research that it's tenfold bigger than I thought. The neurochip, there's two human beings right now on the planet with chip, you know, embedded communications going on in their brains right now. And the first guy said that he'll just clobber anyone else in video games because it's so fast, because he's controlling that cursor on the screen. So I thought, so this is to help paraplegics, right? Well, no. You then find an interview of Elon some far-off place where he thinks in 20 years, millions of us could have these chips to help us communicate with AI, not just so that we can walk, no, but so we can communicate, because AI communicates in quadrillion instructions per second at that level, and we communicate only a million. So for AI talking to us, it's like it's asking a tree for an answer and having to wait forever for any response at all. But a brain chip would suddenly clear that gap. I had no idea that was the ultimate purpose. Same thing for going to Mars. He doesn't just want to go to Mars. After that, he wants to then go to a moon of Jupiter, and from there into the asteroid belt. and get multi-planetary. So none of his dreams are themselves just that dream, which is big enough. They're even bigger than we realize.
He seems to me to view things differently than most people do. And ultimately, this is just my perception. I want to get your thoughts on it. Unaffected by the emotional things that affect most people. And so I wonder how almost odd it is to him to tackle subject matter such as Doge, for example, that should be, it's a no-brainer, right? This is an absolute no-brainer. There should be no controversy over this whatsoever. Yet finding that you have an entire political party, a media, you have Americans that are railing against him for doing something that might be reasons that are incomprehensible to him. Like, why wouldn't anyone want to do this? Do you think that he has that sort of perplexed nature about him in which it escapes him why people would be opposed to doing some of this stuff?
Right. That kind of Asperger's on the spectrum bluntness, it does allow him to maintain singular focus and filter out all the noise around and all of the conventional wisdom or the conventional response, and he simply doesn't care about it. You know, one theme I explore in the book is, does greatness require being a jerk? Telling people off? I mean, if you look at it, Steve Jobs was kind of a jerk to people. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Gordon Ramsay, the chef, does he have to be such a jerk to people? And you begin to wonder, is that a necessary requirement of achieving greatness? You got to be willing to step on toes and break glass and crush egos along the way. But there's another lesson in the book, and that is that, the highest nail, like the old saying goes, the highest nail gets pounded down first. So Elon just straps on a helmet. Yeah, he doesn't care. And that lesson 4 parallel, pairs with that. And it says, tease your critics and torture your enemies. And Elon does that in spades. Short sellers lost collectively $60 billion in recent years betting against Tesla. And he just tortures those short sellers because they're bad for capitalism. They're bad for the markets. And they hurt individual investors with illegal tactics often. And Elon is one of the very few CEOs ever to stand up and take them on directly.
The title of the book, Leadership Genius of Elon Musk, some may see it and think, well, this is aimed more at people who are geniuses themselves, not for the average everyday person looking to learn leadership skills. What do you say to those folks?
Oh, this has 11 lessons that could help all of us build a better life or feel better about the life we have. Because today, a lot of us are shopping for umbrage. We live in disappointment. We live like that famous poet said, those lives of quiet desperation. And we don't take risks, and we don't love out loud, and we don't reach out far enough. We've given up, and yet it doesn't have to be that way. You can at least, if you cannot change events that have happened and things that are bad, you can change how you choose to view these events. And Elon, the opening lesson of the book says, all of this may be fake, so just go for it. Elon thinks the chances are very good that we could be inside an incredibly advanced video game thousands of years from now, right now, indistinguishable from reality. And if that might be true, even a chance, it could allow you to change the way you live. You might as well go for it because it could all be a game for someone's entertainment anyway.
The book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Dennis Neal, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.